Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life. Hey, it's time for the 5 on 5. Amazing we get all those people into this little studio. And once again, the 5 on 5 is sponsored by a wonderful Vero Beach salon called Kaleidoscope Hair. Over there you will find, formerly with The Color Experience, Sandra Reynoso and Callie Ruiz, and they are dedicated to giving patrons the best cuts, the most natural color, and everyone's favorite, extraordinary shampoos. They are located in the Kmart Plaza at 1545 U.S. Highway 1, right here in lovely Vero Beach, Florida, or you can give them a call at 772-569-3645. Kaleidoscope Hair, get a new twist on your look today. They will truly give you something to be grateful for.
Well, the 5 on 5 today is going to be not always as you think. Okay, so that's what I'm going to say. And we'll see if that makes any sense. But number 5 is family. And it's people who make you feel at home, whether they're related to you or not.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, okay. I got it.
You got it? We all have those people in our lives. Thank you. Thank you, God. Number 4, teachers. People who challenge you to expand your understanding, as well as those who've taught you in school. You know, the guy on the street might be a teacher.
Yep.
The guy holding a, you know, no food help sign might be a teacher.
If we pay attention, I can learn from anybody.
The guy in front of you that stops at the yellow light, he might be a teacher.
Setting a positive example. And a little, and kudos to the wonderful people to whom we entrust our young, as well as the college professors that are all doing that frequently thankless and underpaid job. And that's the end of this political statement.
Teacher
on my
thing.
Part.
Okay. The third one, public servants. And when I say that, I mean waiters who care for us when we're hungry and rude.
Oh, service folks.
Nurses when we're sick. Baggers in the grocery store who help us load our car up. And the list goes on.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of people. Public servants aren't just politicians. There's a lot of public servants out there.
I make it a point that during the holidays, if a store is open on holiday, I say, thank you for coming in today so I could get what I needed.
Yeah.
And they look at me like I'm nuts, but I thank them nonetheless.
Yeah, they like that. Okay, number 2, musicians.
Mm.
Their art is capable of resetting our mood, calming or exciting us, and making us feel connected. Isn't it funny how music can make you feel connected, whether you...
In so many ways.
Yeah, whether you mean to or not. And the last one, this one's a weird one. Scientists and inventors. Because their ideas have made our lives simpler, our tasks easier, and some of our goals more attainable.
I like it.
You like that one? Okay. Well, that's 5 on 5. Not always what you think. Okay. We're talking today.
I don't know why that just made me think of Newton and his laws of gravity.
Physics. Okay. So we're talking today about tools that can engage you. Tools that can, you know, help you create a good life. Things in your own personal toolbox. We were talking about nature before we took the break, and I'm just going to throw it out there again before we go on to the next one. I just want to remind you, you know, like I find it in birds. You might find it at the beach or at the mountains, you know, looking at the night sky, you know, the stars. The list is endless.
But you got to pay attention, like the story you told of the young lady you were driving with, and you mentioned the clouds.
And she said, I never look up. I never look up. And she, like, recognized.
And I bet she looks up all the time now.
I bet
now.
She does now, yeah. So develop your hookup in nature. When it shows up unexpectedly, it will be like a love surprise meant only for you. That's what birds are like for me. That's what the little baby face is. That's what, you know, sometimes things going on in the water. All of those things. They...
Gifts.
Yeah, they're gifts. They're gifts. Okay. Other tools for the toolbox. Do you want me to go deeper or a little bit
looser? Well, I know you got a really big toolbox and we have a really short amount of time.
Okay, I'm going to say an easy one. I'm going to say gratitude. We just did our 5 on 5. Gratitude.
And I think that would be number one on my list. And you don't always, I don't know, it may be hard to understand why, but if I am in a place of gratitude, everything else in my life can take on a sense of well-being and acceptance.
Right. Well, you know, I have someone dear to me who's just gone through a loss in their family, and it's an elderly person. And, you know, it's still a loss in their family. And there are going to be times of great sadness. But with it comes times of great gratitude for this wonderful life that they witnessed, and this life that affected their life and set up their life and hooked them up with different things and hooked them to people that they love and they don't love, you know, and just all the different things. But gratitude can change anything. It can change grief into joy. You know, gratitude can change a lot of one feeling. It can make that feeling lighter and the burden easier to carry.
I can go to another extreme and say that I am grateful for the challenges I have experienced in my life, because those challenges, while challenging at the time, have brought me to a new place and a new understanding and awareness that I would not have gotten without them.
Absolutely. Gratitude's an important one. What are you grateful for? You know, in the spiritual heat workbook that I recommend people try, it's a journaling technique. The T in heat stands for thank. And I ask you to write 5 new things every day.
With a hook.
Never repeat one.
It'll get you looking.
Because you'll be grateful for strange things. You'll be grateful that your palm trees don't have dead hanging leaves, and the ones on the corner of Royal Palm Point do. I'm looking out the window at those going, boy, I wish I had one of those big, long razor things that they cut them down with.
Erasers on pencils.
Now, you'll want to put that one down again.
Nope,
but you only get to do it once. Yeah.
But I can put down that I am grateful that the fellow that invented erasers on pencils was looking for a solution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like when I put my son Luke down. I can put Luke down. I can put a million things about Luke down. I can say one of the ones I usually use is the face he makes when he's trying to pull one over on me.
I love it, because it's like, it always makes me think I got to play cards with Luke.
Because you'll get to know the faces.
Tell.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, how about this one? Generosity. You know, one of the things I have listed too is service. And generosity is a function of service. But nonetheless, let's talk about just generosity. How does that affect you? How does generosity affect you when you give?
Well, giving and doing for others is, you know, it the gift ultimately is my own, because number one, it takes me out of me. Right. You know, and the less time I spend in Lee, the better off I am. That's just reality.
Okay.
And it's an important part of the puzzle. We're all important parts of the puzzle, but it gives me a sense of purpose, a sense of value. And it's not even about me, but it's the gift in giving.
Yeah. Well, I have service down too on the list. So I'm going to kind of talk about generosity and service together.
Okay.
Now, most of you are thinking of money.
No.
I'm going to ask you to think about your words.
Ah.
You know, your words can really affect people. And just saying something, you know, thanking the bag boy for being there on a holiday at the grocery store, as you mentioned earlier, Lee, that's a gift of service, but it's also generosity. It's you taking from within you and giving it. Recognizing someone, just recognizing them, somebody who might be overlooked otherwise. Calling someone by name when they don't know you knew their name.
Or one example you've used frequently, Beth, is, you know, you said that your kids say, do you have to talk to everybody? But, you know, when I'm walking along, looking at a stranger, making eye contact instead of looking down and saying, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Because I know when someone does it with me, it feels good.
And that's generosity.
And that's connection.
Generosity. Yeah. And it is. And that's really important. You know, we do a workshop, and I'm doing some writing on a growing problem in the world, and that's loneliness. Loneliness is really, really hurting our world right now. We were created for community, and being isolated from other human beings is a sign of a very base brokenness.
And ironically, it's the developed world that it's affecting.
Yeah, it's the developed world. So when we reach out to serve others or to be generous with others, we go all in to combat this horrendous problem of loneliness. Think of it that way. Be generous that way. Be generous with your words. Be generous with your touch. Be generous with just identifying with another human being. It's a beautiful gift.
Identification is a big one, too.
Yeah.
And because it can let somebody else know they're not alone.
Right. And it lets them know that you're in with them. You know, it's funny because you said identification. One of the other tools I have on here is to quit comparing. You know, when I'm comparing myself with you.
How are we different?
Yeah, I'm thinking of how we're different. What you have that I don't have. What you think that I don't think. Who you're going to vote for and I would never vote for. And let's go on and on. We're in that climate right now where that comes up a lot. And I'm very quiet about it.
I don't indulge in that.
Because it doesn't connect. It's not a connective thing. I understand that we have to deal with that. We have to, you know, fight to have a good country and to have the right people in office and all that. I'm not minimizing that. And I'm not saying that I don't vote. And I'm not saying that I don't have my own thoughts on it. But I don't go there a lot with people that...
Well, I don't want to differentiate from my brothers.
Right. And it's not just that. What other things? Somebody's not like you, so you don't reach out to them. Because maybe you think they have more money than you, or they have less money than you. Maybe they're homeless and they make you nervous. Maybe they're a different color, a different race. Maybe they speak a different language as their first language. Whatever it is that makes you say, we're different, is something that you need to put on hold. So how is quit comparing? How can that be a tool? It's not a tool. It's a negative comment. Start identifying. Look for how you're alike. That's the tool. Look for what we have in common. Look for what it is. Look, when I'm with people that I need to connect with, I'll connect the way I know how to connect. Not everybody is a parent.
That's what I'm sitting here thinking, Beth.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can take somebody from a different culture, a different socioeconomic group, but if they're a parent, me and them feel the same about our kids.
Yeah. Think about it. Start identifying. We're going to take a short little break. And when we come back, we're going to have some more of these little tools for your toolbox, things that help your life get better and better. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
If you connect with the thoughts and words of Beth Wee Radio Hour, you should click on our website to find ideas that will help you live your best life. At BethWee.com, you'll discover Beth's weekly blog that encourages growth, a format you can fill in to create a prayer of victory to help you through a tough time, and in-depth videos teaching on 12 steps, even if you aren't battling alcoholism or addiction. Beth speaks to your personal place of brokenness so you can rise above it. All this and more at BethWee.com. Check it out today.
We're talking today about tools for our toolbox, things that help us create a good life. We've talked about getting quiet, about prayer and meditation. We've talked about going into nature and connecting that way. We've talked about gratitude, generosity. We've talked about identifying instead of comparing, how you're alike rather than how you're different. I want to talk about forgiveness. You know, I think it's a key tool. It's one that's hard for humans as we start. We get hurt. We get injured. We injure each other. It is part of humanity. We make mistakes. You know, in many different ways, forgiveness can build up spiritual power because it removes negative energy.
And it's a tool for you.
This is
not a tool for the person that the forgiveness is going to be bestowed upon.
And forgiveness isn't always just for others. Sometimes it's for letting ourselves off the hook as well. Yeah. Sometimes it's forgiving the higher power. I saw a woman who needed to do that, have a huge life change in front of me because she realized she was holding something against the God of her understanding.
That was threatening her very existence.
Yeah. And, you know, that's important. You know, look up the teaching notes on Beth Wee. Again, I taught on forgiveness in Sarasota a few years ago at a conference, a women's conference. And the teaching notes are on our website. You're welcome to go there and look them up. Like any exercise, don't expect to be proficient without repetition. You know, you have to commit to that way of life if you want to have long-range and far-reaching results. Forgiveness is intensely practical. Forgiving others is for you. You're the one carrying the heavy load. You're the one who gets to set it down when you forgive.
And what's it not, Beth?
Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision. It's an act of your will. It's a choice. You can actively choose to forgive, even though you don't feel like it. And you may live into a day when you do feel it, and you may not.
And it's not acceptance. It doesn't mean you're accepting
necessarily. No, and it's not approval of what they've done. Mm-hmm. It's none of that. It's just, it's putting it down. It's not saying that what they did was okay.
It's taking back the power and restoring the energy to you.
Right. You know, there's another tool that I have listed here, and it's really old-fashioned. Okay?
I can't wait.
You know, some people are going to get uncomfortable because they're going to think it smacks of religion. And I'm not smacking of religion here. I'm talking about something that is intensely practical, and it will help you if you try it.
So open your minds.
Open your mind. You know, drop that old untruth. What we're talking about today is your interaction with the divine. Your interaction, not how somebody tells you it has to be or how somebody tells you what the divine is or any of that. We trust that the divine can hook you up alone. If you seek, you will find.
Absolutely.
You will find. So I want to talk about fasting.
And, you know, I've discussed this with people recently because I loved it when you expanded it out to it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not going to eat today.
Right. You know, are there any parents in the room? Any in listening? Are you parents in the house? Any parents in the house? You know, have you ever denied yourself something for your child? That's fasting. That's fasting. It's prompted by love, and it's a form of fasting. You know, when you deny yourself something—a food, a creature comfort, a behavior—just to honor your relationship with love, or with Source, or with the God of your understanding, amazing results follow, and that's. You know, first of all, every time you think of the thing, you're denying yourself. You'll be consciously choosing the relationship that you're seeking. You're saying...
You're honoring it.
Yeah, yeah. I have something right now that I'm fasting. It's a food okay. that I'm not eating for just to develop, just to bless Beth Wee and the people listening. And it sounds silly. But it's whenever I see that food and I think, oh, that looks good. I think, oh, but you're not going to eat it. And, you know, God bless Beth Wee. And I know that sounds kind of silly. But
and so a byproduct is connection.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See, I gave up haircuts.
Mm-hmm. That's all good. That's all good.
I gave up hair.
Well, we're not asking you to go without food for 28 days like a Buddhist monk.
Nope.
You know, the fast can be simple. Is your cell phone a problem? Make a decision not to take it out of your purse or your pocket while you're in the car.
Well, I got a big one, and somebody in that group I was working with on Monday night said, well, anything but that. If you're a Facebook person, give up Facebook for a day.
Yeah.
Because I know people that would present a huge challenge to.
Right, right, and that's fasting. You know, you may even tell yourself that, say you put your phone away in the car, maybe you'll say, well, at red lights, I can look at it. Well, that's not fasting. You know, you gotta do it.
That's slowing.
Yeah. Has anybody ever quit drinking coffee? You know, coffee on and off. I've gone on and off it for years. And when I let my guard down and give in to just one cup, I become a regular coffee drinker again. But when I give it up as just a fast as to better my life, it becomes easy and I don't miss it as much. Yes, there are other things. There are cigarettes. There is ice cream. There is, you know, blah, 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 blah. There are foods, but there are also behaviors. You know, talking about someone when they're not present,
And now when you're speaking of the fasting, you're not necessarily saying give it up forever. You're giving it up for a period, a designated period of time in right. honor of right. something greater.
Right. You know, whether it's a behavior like the phone or a food like ice cream or a creature comfort, like, I don't know, staying in bed extra long, whatever it is, stop for a time to improve your relationship with your higher power. And I know, yeah, it's old-fashioned. It's an old-fashioned thing because it's a form of sacrifice. But I promise you this, sacrifice is part of love. Ask any parent. Again, ask any employer. Sacrifice is a part of love. I know that sounds funny to say that about an employer, but the good employers, they'll sacrifice for their employees. You know, try it. Give yourself a time deadline. Do it for a month and see what happens. But I bet you're going to have something big coming, and it'll probably be a new way of thinking.
But you know what? If you can't get your head around this, do it for half a day.
Yeah.
You know, start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about things in our toolbox that can help us. I have another one that I think is really important. Self-care. Water, food, exercise, of course. Those are physical things for self-care. But I need support for my physical, mental, and spiritual self. And those are things that I have to take care of. I have to do the things that make me take care. I need to drink enough water. I need to eat the right foods. I need to sleep enough. But I need outlets for my emotions. I need safe people to talk to. I need a devotional time to connect with my higher power. I need people I can talk to about the higher power. You know, I need all these other things too. Self-care. Some of us minimize the importance of it. We'll do anything for anyone else. But for ourselves, we do very little. I'm asking you to check that. Check that.
You are worth the investment.
You are so worth the investment. Please, how will you ever overcome fear if you don't practice love and faith? You know, you have to work on it. It has to be something that's important to you and something that you're willing to invest some time in. And that's part of what we're talking about here.
Like you said before, with the drivenness, being driven, you know, you're stealing from your loved ones.
Absolutely. And the last thing we're going to say today is, what do you think about a lot? What makes you get excited? What is your passion? You know, passion can affect your ability to grow spiritually, for sure. And it can also affect your ability to grow physically and emotionally. So we're made up of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Isn't it natural that these things overlap? And isn't it wonderful that passion affects us deeply in these natures? And they excite us. Recognizing and indulging a passion is good for your spirit. What makes you stand up straighter? Listen more closely. What are you thinking? What makes you feel amped up? What pushes your passion meter to overdrive? Indulge your passions. Indulge them. By doing so, you tap the creative energy inside the universe. Because your passions are yours. They're different than Lee's. They're different than mine. And if we all do what makes us feel passion, this world will be a great place.
Like spiritual adrenaline.
Yeah, delve into your passions. You know, are you passionate about animals, history, photography? What ramps your gears? Go for it. We're talking about a lot of stuff today. A toolbox. Think about it. What would you put in the toolbox? Did we leave anything out? Email us and tell us. You can get me at beth@bethwee.com. You can get Lee at lee@bethwee.com.
We'd love to hear from you.
We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what would help you. We want to know. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next Thursday. And until then, live your best life.